wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to the Gridiron, guys. It's Zach joining you as always. And this week we've got a special guest on with us. We welcome Reece Burns, punter from the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. How are you going, Reece?
Good, mate. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you getting me on.
Yeah, no, it's always good to chat to some of you guys. You know, get to see what you guys do over there. It's really cool going over there and just, I suppose, like, it's become a big thing now. A lot of the Australians going over as punters, but it's not like a, you know, just because you're Australian, you actually go over there and you're competing really well, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a massive thing now. You know, a lot of the guys we play against are Australians and a lot of the colleges have Australian punters. So it's a really cool tradition that we're carrying on and one I hope continues for a long time.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it will. Now, I suppose, yeah, look, taking yourself back to a young Reece, Melbourne boy, I believe, is that right?
Yeah, just outside of Melbourne on the Mornington Peninsula. So just down in Rye down there, but about an hour and a half drive from Melbourne, yep.
Yeah, very nice spot down there. So I suppose, where did your sort of sports journey start? You know, were you a big sort of AFL guy down there? You know, did you ever have your eye on American football or college football back in the day?
Yeah, so I loved Australian football. That was my main passion, but probably realised I wasn't good enough. I was just playing down at Rye locally. And then never really got anything from there. And then once I realised that, I always had a decent sized kick. So, yeah, hit up pro kick and went from there because I always loved watching American football. And I just loved watching the NFL, to be honest. That was just something I'd do on the Monday mornings back home. So I really got into it from that way.
Yeah. So was it pretty easy to sort of get involved with pro kick? Was, as you said, you sort of shoot off a message, but did you sort of have to go through any processes to get accepted? I don't know. Did you have to move into Melbourne to do the camps and things like that?
Yeah. So the tryout to pro kick was 6 a.m. So I drove up there and, you know, that was tough because you never really had a ball before, especially American football. So I sort of taken a stab at that and went over and got accepted, luckily. Johnny Smith, there's Johnny Smith and Nathan Chapman, two coaches. Luckily, Chappie was on holidays, so Johnny's a bit of the easier coach. And he let me in straight away. I was shanking him all over the place. And luckily got in and then moved up to Melbourne and lived with my uncle up there so I could do pro kick easily accessible. So, yeah, it worked out well, and luckily that I got a close proximity to the training field.
Yeah, and I suppose you sort of mentioned like the differences in the ball. How was the early days transitioning to sort of the punting, as you said, working with like guys like Chappie and Johnny and the other trainers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough, man, because they break you down to where everything you're doing is pretty much completely sort of robotic. So it's just different than what we've grown up playing Australian football and so free flow. And it took me a while. They say you get worse before you get better. And I definitely did. You sort of feel like, like, what am I doing here? Like, you're just hitting them all over the place and it takes you a while to get onto it. So it took me a few months at least, and you're just sort of trying to get the hang of it and you feel like you're getting worse, but finally it clicks and the little things start to click together. So, yeah, it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, and I suppose what was it like with those trainings? Because we do sort of see it's very individualized being the punter and, you know, it's all on you. But by the looking at the pro kick stuff, it looks like it's a really nice team environment. It looks like you guys are sort of, you know, going and basically footy training every day or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it sort of feels like. You know, the boys have a bit of banter and it's always good fun. And there's a fair few group of boys around your age. So you're always messing around and hanging out with them. And Chappie and Johnny, like, they do great, but they can only tell you so many things one-on-one. So a lot of times you're off with the boys and you're in groups of like 4 or 5 and everyone's telling each other little pointers like, hey, you dropped this outside, you pulled this in, like little things like that. So that really helps. And it is like a team, like a local footy team, how you get together, have a few beers after. It's pretty much the exact same, really. when we have the money, we'd always get out of the pub and hang out, grab a dinner and things like that. So it was always cool in that regard to where you've always got that camaraderie with the boys. And the boys are from all over the country, so different states, which makes it really cool. Also, they've all got different stories and everyone's doing it for different reasons. So it's cool when, especially when you play them over here and you get the chance to play against them, because you know how much it took to get there. And it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a big vibe, isn't it? Speaking of you, how long did you sort of spend at ProKick before you started getting any offers, or how was that whole recruiting process?
Yeah, so my story was probably a little different. At ProKick, I struggled a fair bit at the start. I wasn't really punting that well, and I was there for probably a year until I got even a tap on the shoulder and said, hey, this team is interested in you or anything. So the first thing that was interesting to me was Ouachita Baptist, which is a Division II in Arkansas. Yep. And actually, Adam Corsack is at Rutgers now, who won the Ray Guy this year. He told me that I might be a bit better than, even though Ouachita Baptist, great school, like unbelievable program. He just said, hey, because I don't know, for me personally, I always wanted to go Division I, which is a goal that you don't have to have, but that was just always sort of something I had. And he said, hey, just hang on a little bit. So I finally got a little bit better and then got the offer for Louisiana. So I was grateful for that.
Yeah, did you I know we were talking to a few of the other boys once, and they talked about the ProKick camps going over. Did you get a chance to go over before and like maybe see some schools and do some of that process?
Yeah, so we went to LSU, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, all the massive programs on the ProKick trip, and punted all those places. So that was a really cool experience. And then we had the ProKicker camps where you punt and you get ranked from the kicking camp. So that was really cool to do also. And just to punt, like to walk through those facilities is crazy. You see it online, but it's just so massive. How they treat college football over here is just ridiculous, really. So it was awesome to see, and really eye-opening to where you need to be to get to that point. So that trip was pretty big for me, where I sort of started taking it a little bit more serious and going, all right, I really need to kick into gear here. And this is a big deal. It's not just a mess around the park. This is the real deal. So try and get a bit more serious.
Yeah, I suppose it can sort of feel that way. Like sometimes you look at college football as, you know, maybe like a reserves or something for the NFL, but then you sort of get there and you realize how big it is, you know, as you said, those facilities. Sometimes a lot of them are a lot better and, you know, than like say our AIS or our AFL football facilities and things like that. And those are like the pros. So it's just goes to show how big this sort of thing is.
Yeah, no, 100%. Because like me personally, I'd only watched NFL growing up. I don't know about you guys, but that was all I really enjoyed, was watching the NFL.
Yeah.
And sort of you saw the guys, what colleges they came from, but I never really watched college football. And then once you finally turned it on, you're like, especially in those big matches, you know, it's 100,000 there, and you're like, wow, this is the real deal. You sort of just think it's like almost like a high school up type thing, like a reserve. So, it was a big eye-opener seeing those facilities and going, wow, this is pretty legit.
So you mentioned you sort of had the offer from the Div 2 school, and you mentioned about Louisiana. Did you have many other offers? And, I mean, if so, what drew you to Louisiana?
That was it, really. So I was asleep, and I got a call from Chappie at about 3 in the morning, and they're like, hey, Louisiana is on the phone with you. So quickly hit the Google search and had a look at Louisiana Raging Cajuns, took a look at what they're about, their facilities, things like that. And then, it looks pretty nice. So as soon, 5 minutes later, I was on the phone with the head coach, who was Hudspeth at the time. And he offered me, and I was like, I'll take it. So since then, never looked back. And I was happy I did, because I loved Lafayette and everything about it. And we had a lot of success there. So it was an awesome time.
Yeah, and I mean, so when you did first move over, did you sort of experience any sort of culture shocks? I suppose, as you said, you just dove straight in and had a crack.
Yeah, it's different. You gotta be pretty open to it, especially in Lafayette. Like, it's a different world. You're down in the deep south, and food's completely different. I just had some crawfish for lunch, so I just finished packing that. And it's just a completely different lifestyle. The food's different. You can carry your drinks around. You can walk around anywhere with drinks. They love drinking, so that's a big thing. Just drinking and eating. So it's similar in Australia to that regard, but just the people, the accents, everything's pretty different.
Did you have much trouble with your accent? Can they hear you most of the time?
They struggled with me. Yeah, I had to slow it down. I still slow it down a little bit and try and keep it as slow as possible, but the deep Cajun accent is hard for me to understand too, because they really get going. So,
once they sort of get fast and things like that, you're just trying to keep up and you've got no idea what's going on.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, freshman year, you got pretty much thrown straight into the starting role. How'd you find that? And as well, juggling, you know, the brand new uni and also the study, because there is that element of it. You've got that student athlete side and you've got to still get your correct GPAs and things like that. How'd you balance all that at the start?
It was a lot at the start. It was it was sort of tough. You know, I didn't perform as I would have liked my freshman year. Probably just because I feel like I was definitely ready from throw kick to go in, but it's just a different being ready at practice and being ready actually getting thrown in the game, you know, because you've never really caught from a snapper.
Yeah.
You've never been behind the shield. You never had the real rush. Like, it's just so many different things that you can't really, you can prepare for, but you can't get in that exact situation. So I think it took me a bit to get going. And I was also just a lot smaller and I was younger back then too, probably 19 coming in, and you're just a bit of a younger kid and you need to mature a bit. Like, I probably spent a bit too much time. My backup punter was in a fraternity and we'd go and have a few beers and we'd have some fun. And, you know, it was a college life. It was cool to check out. And we probably didn't spend as much time taking it as serious as we should.
Yeah.
But it's all a learning curve, and it was something that I'm very grateful for. And it was very enjoyable, but it took a lot of learning because there was a lot of failure at the start, and something we had to get over. So yeah, I'm happy they stuck with me.
Yeah, and I suppose through that first year, you also you got to room with a good friend of the show, Max. You know, how was that going through the process with him? It sounds like you guys created a bit of a bond that first year.
Yeah, a great friend of the pod. He he's a good man. He was great to live with. Yeah, he was just from a few hours away from Lafayette, so it was cool. His family took me in, and I'd always go for dinners on Sundays with his grandma, and it was just like, it felt like I had a second family. So it was really cool in that regard. And now I'd always have a lot of fun with Big Maxi, and we'd go hang out and watch sporting events. We'd go to the bar, we'd go for dinner, we'd do all those things. So it was cool to have a friend that you felt like you could sort of banter and joke around with, like you were back home in Australia with your mates. So yeah, that was big time for me to have coming in.
Yeah. And so you touched on this a bit before about trying to prepare for your games and things like that. And I think it is one of those really unique parts about, especially what Pro Kick's going with, a lot of you guys going over being punters, and it's pretty much your first organized game is a college sport, and sometimes it can be in front of, you know, thousands of people, and especially if you've only sort of just played local footy beforehand, it can be a bit of a it can be a bit of a shock, can't it?
Yeah, 100%. That's the difference. So our first one was 31,000 at home. So even that, like, that's not 100,000, but it's still like, this is pretty, pretty wild.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And it's just like, punting is just so different compared to footy, because like my first game, I had a punt on the first drive. So punted in the first 30 seconds, and then you didn't punt again until 2 minutes left in the game. So, you know, when you miss hit one in punting, it's so hard mentally to get back to go, all right, because you might not get another chance. So you need to just wash them away. And that was probably the biggest learning curve for me, was in Aussie rules football, you know, if you make a mistake, you can always just go again. Whereas punting, you sort of had to just swallow it and go, all right, you got to live with what you have. So that was probably what I struggled with most my freshman year, mentally just getting over that hump of, if I do mess up, it's okay, I'll get another chance. Whereas I'd sort of stew on it a little bit. So that took me a bit to get over.
Yeah, and I suppose, as you sort of said, you only maybe get one or two kicks sometimes, and you know, normally that's obviously good. You know, you want to kick less, but then in the games where you're kicking a lot, that means sort of the game's going poorly, and you've got to try and, you know, bring yourself mentally to keep on top of that.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. You know, if you're punting a lot, it's probably not a good thing. So
yeah.
As much as you want to go out there, you probably really don't need to go out there. So it's a tough balance of, like, you want to get a couple of late ones when you've got the game in the bag just to get on the field, but it's also like, you just want the team to win. So as long as you're staying off the field, the team's most likely winning. So you just got to swallow it and be happy with that and just make sure you get through the game.
Yeah. I mean, and looking at your guys, you were pretty successful, especially sort of those first couple of years coming in. But you sort of couldn't get over the hump to beat Appalachian State. How do you guys sort of go building towards that matchup? Because then in your third year, that was the COVID year, you guys managed to finally get over them.
Yeah, that was our big matchup. The first 2 years, we'd play them two times a year because we'd play them in the regular season, then the championship game, and they got the better of us every single time. So I was 0-4 against them in the first 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was always a massive matchup that we'd build up at Louisiana, you know. And that was our marquee matchup. Like, we'd put that circle on the schedule, this is the one. And we just couldn't get over the hump. We had a lot of great players, but we just, for some reason, they just always got the better of us. They were a great team too. And finally in COVID, we got them. And since then, we've got them every year. So we sort of had to get over that hump. And I think we're 0-8 against them before that time. So it was just a long time coming where we hadn't beat them. And we finally got over it. So they had an Aussie punter too, Xavier Subic. So yep. Big X-Men. we used to get the post-game photos together. He'd always ask me to get him, and I'm flat. You know, finish the game, beat us again. You have to pose and smile to get the photo of the chappie. So finally I got him one back where I got one where I was actually grinning.
Yeah.
Finally got him.
Yeah. So that one in 2020, so they had no championship game, right? Mm-hmm. Did you guys call that like a bit of an unofficial Sunbelt championship in your locker room?
Yeah, so we didn't know we were not having a championship before that because we were supposed to play Coastal, and Coastal cancelled for COVID, so that hurt us. But before that, we needed to win it anyway to get in. So it was sort of like that was like a championship game before the championship game, but the championship game got cancelled. But to beat App State was probably bigger for us, to be honest. It was just such a big deal.
Yeah,
our program, and it had been so many times they beat us that we had to get over the top of them. So we were happy we did.
Yeah, and then I suppose going the next year and actually getting the championship, what was that like? Sort of getting your first championship win in the ring and all that sort of stuff. That would have been pretty fun.
That was huge. It was that's one of the best days of my life, especially because you know it took 4 years to get it, and we were good the whole time, but we just couldn't get there. So we were so close. And to have it at home, the fans rushed the field, things like that. It all built up, and you sort of got to appreciate it more that you had those struggles beforehand against App State. I feel like if I had done that in 2018, my first year, I don't think I would have appreciated as much as I did. But 4 years later, and you finally get that championship, it was everything you could have asked for, and to do it at home in front of everyone flooding the field and those kind of things was just a It was an awesome experience and the best day of my life up there. Yeah,
and I mean, looking at the championships, you won a couple now, but sort of every year as well, you guys got a chance to, I think you went to a bowl every year, didn't you?
Yeah, we did 5 different bowls, yeah.
Yeah, how any of those sort of stand out, like maybe location, results, team you played or anything like that?
They're all cool. We won 3 of the 5. So I lost my first year, I lost my last year. So all the ones in between we won. My favourite location was the Cura Bowl, which was the first 2018. We played Tulane. They beat us pretty bad, but we went to Orlando and you get the Fast Pass, so Express Pass, Universal Studios. So you get to ride all the rides and go on all the Universal theme parks and things like that. So that was unbelievable to go do that for free and to skip all the queues and things like that. It's really good. And then all the bowls, you know, they're all unbelievable. You get a week with your friends, you get to check out a new city, and you're staying in the hotel, and you just get to travel around with your boys, really, and it's an awesome experience. And then when you win, it makes it even better, obviously. So, yeah, they all stick out as pretty good. New Orleans Bowl is obviously fun. That's a great place.
Yeah,
check it out. It's local. You actually get to play in the Superdome, which is the Saints' home stadium. So that was really cool. No wind, which is massive for a punter. And they've all been fun. They've all been great.
Yeah, I suppose looking at your actual stats over the years, you've had some pretty good averages. But I want to ask you about one kick in particular in 2020 against UAB. You punted about 74 yards. I think that's your longest one. That must have felt pretty good coming off the boot, hey?
Yeah, that one came off well. That was a big week for us. We're playing UAB, and I think they had a 22-game win streak, I think, at home. And that was the first year we got ranked. So in the college football, we were top 15. We'd just gotten ranked. And our O-line coach had passed away in the summer. He had a heart attack at practice.
Oh, shit, so, yeah.
Yeah, it was a massive deal. He was a great dude. Everyone loved him, DJ Looney. So he was from Birmingham, which is where UAB was. So everyone had Looney on their back of their jersey, and it was just a big build-up week for us. And it was a midweek game on CBS, so it was just a big deal all around for the boys. And that punt was near the end, so I like to say that Looney gave a little bit of it up above, just put a bit on it, because I don't think I hit it that flush, but just managed to get over to Turner's head. So
yeah,
I think he helped out a bit with that one. But it was just a big win for the boys. So I think that's what meant the most about it, was that it could help us win.
Yeah, it just really got you going, didn't it? And I suppose you yourself, you recently just came back from the Tropical Bowl you were mentioning to us the other day in the messages. So that's in Orlando. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's sort of like an all-star game for the college athletes, and basically provides a platform for NFL scouts to watch you do your thing. You know, how was that experience? And did you guys actually get over there and manage to get the W?
Yeah, that was really cool. We didn't manage to get W. We got beat 48-10.
Oh, yeah. So, okay.
Got beat pretty bad, which was good. I guess good for me because I got a few punts in. But it was a great experience. You know, there was 31 of the 32 teams in the NFL there. And they were all there watching. We had two practices before the game. So we went up there 3 days early and ended up playing in Orlando at Camping World Stadium. So it was really cool to play with some of the guys from all around the country and, you know, some of the guys that are the best at their positions. And it was just a great experience to have. And I feel like I punted pretty well. So it was a good trip all in all.
Yeah, just sort of putting your best foot forward, I suppose. Anyone that you were there with that sort of stood out to you, or, you know, that you were seeing them, you know, right up front and personal, like that you just go, wow, this guy's good.
There were some great players, skill players, specialist wise. We had the kicker from Notre Dame, Blake Groupe, who used to be from Arkansas State. Yep. So I played against him 4 years in a row. Had a 4-0 record against him, which I might him a few times. But I was holding for him. So it was cool to be on the other side. You know, you play against the guy so many times, you sort of end up knowing him pretty well. And then to have him on my team and hold for him was pretty cool, just to chat it up about all those times we played. And, you know, there's so much camaraderie between the teams you play against every year that it's sort of cool to just chat it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so what's the plan for you going forward? You know, you just finished your fifth year of college. Do you have sort of any more years of eligibility at the moment, or are you looking to move on to the next stage of your career, study and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, all done with eligibility, unfortunately. You know, I'd take as many years as I could because, yeah. You know, it's better than working. So I'm just enjoying being over here and living it up over here. So it's been really unbelievable. But all my eligibility is gone. So next step now, I guess, I train. We got pro day March 15th, which is where I punt, and hopefully a few of the scouts and things come out and watch. But other than that, I got my sport management degree from UL. And I've always just had a massive passion for sport. So I really just want to work in the sport field any way I can, to be honest, and hopefully work my way into there and see if I can get a decent job and go from there. I don't know where I'll be living or what I'll be doing, but I know I'll be enjoying it.
Yeah, so I suppose are you looking to stay in America and continue on there, or probably come back to Oz?
Not too sure. My girlfriend's living over here. She's in Houston. I'm at her house right now, so.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Probably can't say I'm leaving. we'll see what happens. I really don't know. I want to definitely show her Australia and get her to check it out and see if she likes it.
Yeah.
And then I love it over here too, so we'll see what happens there.
Have you been able to get back over much? I know ever since COVID, that's probably made things really hard. You know, have you guys sort of been able to get over much since then?
Yeah, COVID made it tough. I went back for Christmas. I've probably been back 3 times since I've been in America since 2018. So not too often. I used to try and go home every Christmas, and then COVID sort of interrupted that. And when you make bowl games, sometimes they're after Christmas, and it sort of just depends on what game you make. So other than that, I don't really feel like in May, it'd be decent. We get a good break in May, but, you know, it's sort of winter back home. Everyone's working. Yeah. I'd rather save up for when everyone's got that Christmas holiday and New Year's break where you can see all your friends and you can see all your family and everyone's sort of free. So hopefully this Christmas as well, I'll be able to get back and enjoy the sun.
Yeah, that's it. It's certainly turning on. I suppose in those sort of times when you weren't able to get back, was the uni pretty good at supporting you guys? Because you were essentially like cut off, and I suppose I don't know what it was like over there, but there were times over here when everyone's sort of not sure what's going on. They're stuck in rooms and things like that. How would that have impacted your guys' schedules?
Yeah, it was tough. It was, you know, everything sort of locked down so that college football could stay on. So you couldn't really see anyone. You're sort of in your own bubble, and they sort of locked you in together, and no one else could come into the facility. No one else could leave. So it was a bit of a different experience, you know, not being able to see anyone for that long of a period of time. And you also want to be able to know when you're going home next and things like that, just for your mental health. Exactly. So it was tough. Yeah, it was good that I was with my girlfriend back then. That was good. You know, I had all my friends on the team that I loved. So you're with a lot of people that took your mind off it. Yeah, but definitely just want to know when you can see your family again. No one could come in to watch your games. You know, that was supposed to be my senior year. So all my family had plans on coming in to the games, and they unfortunately couldn't that year. So it was just little things like that where you're like, you know, I wish that that could be going on. But it all worked out in the end. They gave us the extra year and everyone could get over. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just it was really that sort of when they take that option away from you, as you sort of said, it's not like you get over anyway, but it's sort of you just didn't have that opportunity to even try and get over. So, and it really made things tough. But I mean, hopefully moving forward, it's all good. Look, I suppose when you said you sort of started a bit slow, when did you start sort of, you know, maybe starting to feel like, oh, I could actually maybe take this to the next level? You know, was it sort of seeing Max make it to the league that gave you that motivation, or would you get some sort of feeling going, oh, I could actually, you know, take this further?
Yeah, it was massive to see people that you played with get that chance in the next level, because, you know, you sort of see them as just friends at the start. And, like, Maxi was pretty, I wouldn't say uncoordinated, but he was pretty raw when he first got there. You know, he had to put on a fair bit of weight and he was just sort of fitting into his body. So it was sort of just things like that, like developing with those guys. And, you know, we had backup punters that were really good and pushed me to be better. Which helped, and you sort of just train and you sort of get a little better as the time goes on, and finally it sort of started to click. You get a little more comfortable in game, started to realize when I could hold on to the ball a little longer. You sort of just understand the game a little bit more when you're out there, which helps a lot, and then you start to trust yourself to hit a good ball. So once that started to click in my second year, I felt like I sort of had it going a little bit and could continue playing at a high level.
Yeah. And I suppose what's sort of the options like? Like obviously there's the NFL, and it's kind of a bit weird because once you finish college, you can't play anymore. And you see a lot of those guys sort of stop playing, but I suppose you've got the NFL. Is there many opportunities in like CFL or overseas and things like that for you guys?
Yeah. And the NFL is obviously tough to get into as a punter because there's 32 spots and there's no backups. So, you know, those guys are pretty unbelievable. And then the CFL is also hard, but the CFL has a global draft. So they pick up a fair few Australians each year, which is probably the most likely situation if I'm lucky. And then I actually hit up Johnny, one of our coaches, the other day. There's a European Football League just started up. They got a couple of teams out in Barcelona and Paris and that. So I was like, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So I just sent him the tweet and said, see what you can do. We call him the Baron. So
yeah.
See what you can do, Baron. I'd love to be over there just checking it out, because I always wanted to travel Europe. So. For me, it's just, you know, I enjoy punting and I love American football. So it's just something that I'd love to extend rather than getting my real job. So
yeah.
What I've been trying to do for the last 5 years, really.
Yeah, no, don't worry, mate. Don't try and rush into work because there's nothing good there. But, I mean, look, you sort of mentioned the pro kicker guys again. It's exciting times for them with a number of draft hopefuls. I know Adam Corsack, we mentioned him earlier. He's, you know, invited to the combine. Are there any other guys that have sort of seen around there that we should probably keep our eye on at the moment?
Yeah, Big Lou. I think Lou Headley's going to the combine as well at Miami. And, yeah, a lot of the boys are rolling, especially some of the younger boys. I really don't even know personally, because you sort of have your year that you go in with. And a lot of my guys are done because, you know, I've done 5 years. Corsack and Lou are really the last of them that stuck with me, and the rest sort of finished up in 3 or 4 years. So all the guys coming through now are a bit younger and I don't really know them, or like younger in their pro kick class. Some of them are older than me, but it's been awesome to watch them on TV and just see their stats and things like that. They've been killing it. So you always want them to do good just so pro kick keeps getting a good rep and everyone keeps picking up Australians. So they've been carrying the torch well.
Yeah, and as you sort of mentioned, even though you guys don't know them too well, it does seem like after games you even get a chance to get together and, you know, you meet them through that way, because you've got that sort of like you've got that compatibility where you guys have both been to pro kick. Even though you've never met each other, you're almost like mates straight away.
Yeah, 100%. Just to hear an Australian accent in America is a good thing. Just to, you know, you can talk about things that just happen in Australia, like. It's just little things that you sort of forget about. And it's cool when you play against an Australian, even though you don't know them, you can easily just pick up a chat and you can be chatting them for 15 minutes at halftime or pre-game, and you can be talking. Just, it's the Australian banter. Like, there's just, there's nothing like it. So it's cool to play against guys that are Australian, just hear the voices and hear their story as well. And you always want them to do well.
Yeah. And so I suppose finishing up, you know, yourself, you won't be playing this year, but for the Raging Cajuns this year, next year, I know it is this year, sorry. But who should we be keeping an eye out for, you know, and how are the boys looking for this next season?
Yeah, so the boys will be good. We're a bit younger now. We lost a fair bit the last couple of years. This year was a bit of a rebuild. So I ended up 6-7, lost in the bowl game to Houston. That was probably my lowest year win loss percentage wise. But the boys will be back. They'll be good and they'll be ready to go. It's cool because a lot of the younger boys will be playing. Guys have been sitting behind and will finally get the chance to play. So they'll definitely be hungry to play and it'll be cool to watch them. So, yeah, I'll be a Cajun fan for the rest of my life. I really, you know, I love, like, I'm really passionate in sport. I'm a massive Collingwood fan. I yell when the footy's on, and I know I'll be yelling when the Cajuns are on now. It's just it's a passionate thing that I've sort of got in me. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to watching them and hopefully see a few games live.
Yeah, unreal. Well, look, thanks, mate, for joining us this week. It's really been good chatting to you, and I'm sure, yeah, we'll be absolutely keeping an eye on you to wherever you end up next, and it's going to be exciting times ahead by the sounds.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me, and great work on your podcast. It's been cool to listen to, and it's awesome you guys keep up with it, so thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks. Really appreciate it heaps. We'll talk to you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.